Well, good morning, boys and girls. Another week begins, and we do so by turning to God's Word and Exodus, the chapter 20. Exodus, the chapter 20, and we're at the third commandment. That's found there in verse 7, and we're at the second part of that commandment. We have already looked at it. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. We've looked at that, considered what it means to take the name of the Lord in vain, and we considered how that it's a very common thing, a very common thing. Indeed, the very day that I dealt with this, or the day after it was, I rung up a man I know. There had been a death, and in the conversation, his reply, he didn't know it, but he took the name of the Lord in vain. Not loudly, but just, it was there, just threw it in, took the name of the Lord in vain. In fact, his pronunciation of the name of the Lord Jesus was such that only someone living in this part of the world would have known that he had just taken the name of the Lord Jesus in vain. The name of Jesus has just become a term to be used to express surprise or vexation or annoyance. And that man was doing that. And how sad it is that they take this blessed name on their lips frequently without a thought of God or the person they're referring to whose name they are thus abusing. Not a thought of them. They're just using it as an expletive. But God says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. God thinks a lot of his name. He thinks a lot of his name, and he wants us to do the same. We come to the second part of this commandment. It begins with the word for, F-O-R. That always begins an explanation. If the teacher says to you when at break time, you're not to go outside, she invariably will then go on to say why. And she will begin her explanation as to why you're not to go out with the word for. You're not to go out at break time for it's raining. Thus she explains why you're not to go out. You'd get wet. And she begins that explanation with the word for. And that's how it is with God. He says, you're not to take my name in vain. Then he tells us why. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. The Lord gives us a reason here, the reason, a most important reason, why we're not to take his name in vain, take it casually, without reverence. The Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now, we explained that taking the name of the Lord in vain is a very common occurrence, and it's committed with utter carelessness. People don't even know they're doing it. But though that be the case, yet God takes the matter very seriously. People take the name of the Lord in vain, and if you said to them, you've just taken the name of the Lord in vain, they would almost say to you, well, when did I do that? They hadn't noticed they'd done it. They're doing it all the time. But all the time they do it, God views it as a serious matter. He says, the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Or we could put the reverse of that, the other side of that. The Lord will hold him guilty that taketh his name in vain. Guilt before God comes with taking the name of the Lord in vain. You've offended God, you've broken his law, and you've become guilty of sin when you take the name of the Lord in vain. Each time it happens, there's a breaking of God's law, and God will hold that person accountable. Just you think of it. As I say, it's very common. There's many people, and they have taken the name of the Lord in vain hundreds of times, thousands of times, thousands of times. And each time they have taken his name in vain, they're going to answer to God for that offence. Listen to what the Lord Jesus said, and I want every one of you to take notice of this. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So what words we use when we are talking will either make us guilty before God or will commend us to God. We've got to conclude, boys and girls, God is listening to every word you utter. And not only listening, but keeping a record of it. When you came into school this morning, you met with someone. What did you say to them? Oh, I haven't a clue. You might remember one word, hello. But after that, you don't remember what it was you said and went on to say. Because we don't take particular note of the things we say. Most of what we say is casual. No great depth to it. No great meaning to it. Consequently, we say it without thinking. And saying it without thinking, we have no memory of what it is we have said. But God has a memory of everything you say. Am I stressing the thing too much? No. The Lord Jesus said, every idle word that men shall speak, he shall give an account of. I tell you, boys and girls, life is a serious matter. Not only what we do, but what we say is noted by God. Noted by God. That was Matthew chapter 12, by the way, the verse 36, if you want to look it up. And just take note of what it is the Lord Jesus says about this. The second thing I want you to notice, not only that the Lord takes very seriously this matter of his name being taken in vain, but I want you to notice there's great guilt attached to taking the Lord's name in vain. Now that verse we just read, Matthew chapter 12, the verses 36 and 37, refers to idle words. Let me repeat it to you, but I say unto you, and remember the Savior speaking, that every idle word. Now that word, idle, is very important. What does it mean? It means thoughtless. There's no thought behind it. Car mechanics will use the word idle, and they use it when a car is ticking over. The engine's just ticking over. The car's going nowhere. It's not moving. The engine's just ticking over. And that helps us to understand what the word idle means. Your mouth is working, saying things that have no meaning, no purpose. Like the car sitting there and the engine's ticking over. You're going nowhere. You're accomplishing nothing. That's what idle means here in this text. It means thoughtless words uttered without any consideration or effort to contemplate what it is we're saying. And God says even those careless words that we attach no importance to, God will ask you, why did you say that? Why did you say that? God will ask you. And I'll tell you this, boys and girls, when God asks you a question, you don't shrug your shoulders. You have to give an answer. You can't remain silent. You have to answer him. It's a serious matter, isn't it? Serious matter. Nothing better illustrates the utter ignorance in which mankind, men and women and boys and girls, are utterly careless about this matter, this particular sin, taking the name of the Lord in vain, than what we read in the book of Leviticus in the chapter 24. You older ones, I suggest you look it up. It's the next book to the book of Exodus. And I'm going to just read from the verse 10. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 10. And the son of an Israelitish woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel, and this son of the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp. They had a bit of a quarrel and a fight. So here they are wrestling. And the Israelitish woman's son blaspheme the name of the Lord. Can we explain why it is this man did this? Well, we're told really why. His father was an Egyptian, a man who would by nature have no regard for the Lord. He was an Egyptian, and being an Egyptian, he didn't worship the Lord. He would have worshipped the gods of Egypt. And this foolish woman married this man. Who you marry is an important matter, boys and girls. Who you marry. More important than the looks of the person you marry. More important than the money the person you marry has. Is how they stand with God. And this lad, brought up in such a household, where the Lord wasn't thought highly of, when he's angry and fighting with this other Israelite, he takes the name of the Lord in vain. He blasphemes, it says. He blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And they brought him unto Moses, and his mother's name was Shelemeth, the daughter of Dibri of the tribe of Dan. And they put him in ward or in jail while the matter was thought about, that the mind of the Lord might be showed them. So basically Moses said, right, lock that boy up until the Lord tells me what we're to do with him. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, bring forth him that hath cursed without, outside the camp, and let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. Death penalty. In the Old Testament times, when Israel was directly ruled by God, the death penalty was the price for blaspheming the name of the Lord. I'm telling you, boys and girls, it's a serious matter. It's a serious matter. And men will one day, women will one day, boys and girls will one day stand before God and give an account of taking his name in vain. I was thinking about this. When people lie, oftentimes their conscience troubles them. Not every time, but there are those who are so used to lying that they don't even notice they're doing it. But most people, when they tell a lie, it troubles them. Or when somebody steals something, it troubles them. Their conscience is pricked. But I think that this is a sin that those who engage in it never even notice they're doing it, and their conscience doesn't bother them. They think it's of no importance when they take the name of the Lord in vain. But the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Boys and girls, men shall not escape judgment for taking the Lord's name in vain. There's a price to be paid. God's judgment will follow at the heels of the one who takes his name in vain. There will be trouble and affliction follow the person who takes the Lord's name in vain. They might know that the trouble they are going through is the result of taking his name in vain. They mightn't put the two things together, but there will be trouble follow taking the name of the Lord in vain. You'll not have God's blessing on you. You'll not have God's smile upon you when you take his name in vain. I'm going to read verses from the book of Deuteronomy that illustrate the price that is paid by those who take the name of the Lord in vain. It's away at the end of the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, and right at the end of that chapter, beginning at the verse 58. I want you to listen to this now. Verse 58. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then. So here we are, boys and girls. If you don't reverence, that's what is meant here by the word fear. If you do not reverence the name of the Lord, but rather take it in vain and break his commandments, then, verse 59, the Lord will make thy plagues, wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sickness, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. And ye shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldst not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass that the Lord rejoiced over you to do good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from one end of the earth even unto the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And amongst these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, Would God it were evening, and at the even thou shalt say, Would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see, and the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee, and thou shalt see it no more again, and there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. Those are solemn words, fearful, frightening words. And do you know something? For 2,000 years, God has been doing what is said here in these words to Israel. I've often told you I love history, and I like to watch documentaries on history, and I particularly have watched many documentaries on the Second World War, a time in which the Jewish people were persecuted by Hitler's Germany to a degree that we can't even begin to imagine. And oftentimes I have looked in that documentary at newsreels, news films, German soldiers rounding up Jews, men, women and children, and to see the cowering fear that is upon those people as they are gathered at the point of bayonets by German soldiers makes you understand what God says here. 2,000 years ago, the Israelite people committed a dreadful sin, the ultimate sin. They rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. We will not have this man. That's what they said. We don't want to know him. We reject him. He's not our king. And they have paid an awful price ever since. And they're still paying it. And they will continue to suffer the consequences of that event until the Lord Jesus comes again in mercy and delivers what is left of the Jewish people. They're scattered across the world, just like it says in the portion I read to you. They're in every country, hounded out of the land God gave them. Just in the last 24 hours, a very prominent member of the Labour Party over in England, former cabinet member, minister of the government, who spoke disparagingly of the Jewish people and sort of denied that they were ever persecuted, because within the Labour Party there is a strong anti-Jewish feeling, and it was embarrassing that this woman should say these things. So embarrassing they have dismissed her from the membership of the party, at least for a while. Some people want her thrown out altogether. And there are any amount of people who speak against the Jews to this day, any amount of people, in fulfillment of what God said would come upon them when they despise the name of the Lord. If you were to go to Israel today, there are many of the Israelite people, they won't even speak the name of Jesus. They won't utter, they won't let that word come out of their mouth. They so hate him. That's sad. Of course, many of our own people here and across the nations, the Gentiles, they're no better in their attitude toward the Lord, but God says, you suffer greatly for despising my name. Now, the plagues that have befallen Israel don't befall every person who takes the name of the Lord in vain, but nevertheless, the disapproval of God of the act of taking his name in vain is seen here. Don't take the name of the Lord. Don't copy anyone you know who does take the name of the Lord. Don't keep company with them. Pray for them. Oh, boys and girls, you remember this commandment. You remember to keep it, to observe it, and to honor it, and to walk in the fear of the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. O God, forgive us for ever thinking lightly of Thee, or of speaking lightly of Thee, or anything that is connected with Thee, Thy house, Thy word, Thy name, Thy people, Thy mercy. O God, give us a heart and a mind that reverences Thee in all that is of Thee. Teach each one in this school. May the name of the Lord be honored in every classroom, in every lesson, by every one. O God, we long for that day when the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Let it come, Lord, soon, we pray. Bless our school. Meet its need. Meet the need of this work and witness to the glory of thy name. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.